The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night here on a spooky Halloween edition of the SB Nation NFL show. A reminder before we get started that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. As mentioned, this is the SB Nation NFL show where, shocker alert, we love the NFL. Today is Monday Football Monday, which means we're going to recap all of Sunday's action. I say we, as always, on the ones and twos here at MFM, the fantastic Rachelle Prevette. That's not me fishing for the MF double MVP. We'll see where she ultimately hands it out when the episode is over. My name is RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's blog and the boys, home of the 6-2 Dallas Cowboys, of course. And normally with me every Monday is Pete Tweeney from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, but it appears Pete ate too much Halloween candy and needed to take a sick day of sorts. So our 10th option filling in for Pete Tweeney from SB Nation's Niners Nation. I've hosted a show with him for what feels like 20 years at this point in time. He is beautiful in every conceivable way, and he has a beautiful baritone voice that he's now going to grace us with for the next hour or so. You can hear him, of course, if you subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show, whether that's on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. It is Rob Stats Guerrera. Stats, thank you for being our 10th option. The first nine, not available, but you are here wearing your Victory Monday shirt. The San Francisco 49ers, who you did not believe in. I picked them. Actually made them my lock of the week on the look ahead on Friday. You picked the Rams to win that game. So, haha, you're stupid, and I'm not.
Never been so happy to be wrong, RJ. How are you on this Halloween? Which, by the way, may I say, unequivocally, best holiday. Without question. Easily.
Why?
No family. You get to dress up. You get candy. And you hang out with your friends. It's the best holiday.
Funny how the best part of your like requirement here is no family. That is true. There's not generally like the get together that follows with. Okay. Yeah. I disagree, but I can see the logic. Today is Halloween. Last year on Halloween, the Dallas Cowboys played Stats. I don't know if you remember that. It was on Sunday Night Football. That was the beginning of Cooper Rush's apparent meteoric rise superstardom in the NFL. They were successful, those Cowboys were, on the road against the Minnesota Vikings. But those Minnesota Vikings, not the team that we saw last year. No, Stats. I believed in the Minnesota Vikings. I picked the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. And again, that's not me sucking up to anybody, particularly not our guest, Christopher Gates from the Daily Norseman here, SB Nation's home for Minnesota Vikings content. Chris, I'm serious. I picked the Vikings to win the Super Bowl over the Buffalo Bills. All my cohorts around here laughed at me, poked at me, said, that's so stupid, this and that, whatever. Look at us, you and me. We did this, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us here on the SB Nation NFL show.
I am grateful for whatever role I have played in the Vikings currently being 6-1. I'm guessing it's not a very large one, but, you know, I'm just happy to contribute. You know, just keep grinding and keep getting better every day.
Well, then who do you attribute most of the success to right now? I mean, the Vikings are 6. Is it, you know, Kevin O'Connell? Is it Kirk Cousins? I picked Cousins before Michael Irvin did to win MVP because I thought, like, I believe in this offense. And I thought if that offense is successful, there's a story there. You got to have a little bit of a narrative kind of coming out of nowhere. Kirk was fantastic. He put on the wheels on Sunday afternoon against the Cardinals.
He sure did. Every time that guy scrambles, he looks like Bambi trying to make her way across the ice in the old Disney cartoon. It's kind of awkward, but, you know, he got the job done. But, You know, as far as the Vikings being 6-1 as opposed to where they were at this time last year, I think you got to give the credit to Kevin O'Connell. It's just a completely different vibe, a completely different feel around this team than what we had last year. Somebody just posted the stat a little bit ago on social media. The Vikings played in 14 one-score games last year, and they went 6-8 in those games last year. This year, they played in five one-score games, and they are 5-0. So that has a lot to do with culture and whatnot, I think, and you know, just believing that you can go out there and win when everything isn't going perfectly for you.
It seemed like last year, for whatever reason, there were issues with Zimmer and some of the people in that locker room. It certainly seemed like he was no fan of Kirk Cousins. We've had other players recently come out and talk about how there were things going on behind the scenes. Do you get the sense that was a bigger issue last year than maybe we knew at the time? And then obviously with Zimmer gone now, those problems are gone.
I think it really was. I mean, we saw the story with Cameron Dantzler that came out this last week where apparently he saw Zimmer at the Vikings facilities during a time when he was dealing with injury and said, Coach, you don't talk to me anymore now that I'm injured. And Zimmer's response was, I don't talk to guys that are injured, which seems weird. I mean, the guy's still on the roster and everything. So, you know, you should talk to him and whatnot. But I think Zimmer got to the point, kind of like Denny Green got to toward the end of his time in Minnesota, where, you know, you're most coaches coach for so long and the message eventually gets a little stale and stops getting through and whatnot. And, you know, I think that the change was needed. I don't think Mike Zimmer is necessarily a bad football coach. I just don't think it was sustainable for him to be the head coach in Minnesota any longer, just for those reasons that we were talking about.
Yeah, I do think there was, I hate to call it magic, but early on in the Zimmer era, the Teddy Bridgewater, you know, injury and obviously the Adrian Peterson situation, there was this like, you know, like, I guess, reputation of like overcoming, persevering, like everybody kind of roots for that coach. And you do kind of feel like, you know, nothing is over when that coach is in charge. You mentioned the word culture and kind of the story that you and Sats were just talking about. A story that's come out in the fallout of this game. I say fallout, no pun intended, because Patrick Peterson kind of, you know, clapped at the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, you don't cover the Cardinals for us here at SB Nation, but it does seem like there was some really bad blood between he and the Cardinals organization, even talking about how they left whatever it was, letters on his in his locker, like a fans getting all pissed off at him and things like that. It does seem like the Vikings have built something that is no longer toxic, is no longer clunky, is no longer gross, is just sustainable. And to your point, I think that has a lot to do with their success.
I think it does. I mean, you know, Kevin O'Connell, he's the second youngest coach in the NFL right now, and he's got a different perspective on things. And, you know, they had to make the decision on Cousins going into this season, what they wanted to do with him. And Kevin O'Connell convinced management and ownership that he could win with Kirk Cousins and the rosters that was mostly constructed now. So they brought Peterson back. They brought in Za'Darius Smith, who might be the best free agent signing of the offseason for anybody with the way he's playing right now. And, you know, they just, things are just different than they were last year. I think Kevin O'Connell is probably the biggest part of that.
So what's the outlook for this team the rest of the way now? They're 6-1. Nobody else in the division is over 500. Are you willing to say that the division is theirs? And what's sort of the ceiling for this team?
Well, I mean, as a Vikings fan, we know better than to kind of jump the gun on these sorts of things. If you think back to years like 2016, they started out 5-0 and wound up missing the playoffs because they went 8-8 and just completely fell apart the second part of the year. But like I said, this team is different. I do think they're going to win the NFC North pretty handily, and they're probably going to be one of the top three seeds in the NFC. Whatever's going on in the NFC South, I think they're going to kind of be at the bottom of the division winners, but they should be one of the top three seeds in the playoffs unless they just, like I said, completely fall apart or Kirk Cousins gets hurt, which has never happened in his career. So hopefully it won't start now. But yeah, this team is probably looking at 11 or 12 wins and a division championship and a return to the postseason.
Well, shout out to you and I, Christopher. We're the only ones who believe. Nobody else around here. We did it. Christopher Gates from SB Nation's Daily Norseman. Check out the Daily Norseman for all your Minnesota Vikings coverage and needs. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the win. You're not going to have one in a couple of weeks in the Cowboys. Oh, God.
I had forgotten the Cooper Rush thing until you brought it up again. So now I'm traumatized. I'm going to have to go and lay down here for a bit, I think.
That's my job. Enjoy your siesta. Thank you, Christopher. Have a great rest of your holiday. Stats, what is your favorite Halloween candy since you apparently love the day so much?
That's a good question. Twix is always solid, but I'm still a Butterfinger. Oh, hey, fan.
I don't name a lot because I have come up with a challenge for you since you are a special guest here. And if you succeed at this to the degree that Rachel thinks is successful,
all right.
I'm fine with you winning MF double MVP. We're about to rip through all of the other games from Sunday. We obviously just touched on Vikings Cardinals, although that Patrick Peterson story is like, man, bad vibes around the Cardinals.
Well, like, but also like Patrick Peterson, you've been cheeks for 2 years. Like, let's not act like you're think, awesome now.
I mean, I do think there's something to like flexing in the first opportunity you get, and he got that. You know what I mean? So he kind of like had a circle, but whatever. But anyway, I would like you to compare each game that we talk about. The first thing you say, I want you to compare it to a Halloween candy. So it has to be like a Halloween related candy. You can't be like, oh, this one candy that I had in high school or something like that. Like, it has to be a pretty popular candy that everyone can identify with.
All right. I like it. I'm in.
And you have to tell us why that game, the way it unfolded. And obviously Stats is a busy man. He had a lot going on Sunday with his Niners. I'll help you out. Okay. In fact, Stats, as I'm making the rules up as we go, you are allowed two lifelines. So on two different games, you can ask for me and Rachel each to come up with a candy for that game. So if you're stuck, you're in a pinch, you're in a bind, you say, RJ, Rachel, tap in, give me the candy for this game.
Jeez, okay. Well, I didn't even know I was going to be hosting the show an hour ago. So great, let's do it.
Rachel, I have now volunteered you to offer a candy. By the way, there are no repeats allowed. So okay. Rachel, be heads up, you know, whatever game Stats calls you on, you can't name a candy anybody has named to that point. So Stats, let's start. Let's start with your Niners. You're our guest. You're the guest co-host here. 31-14, the final score. Again, I made this my lock of the week on the look ahead. So shout out to me. You once again failed in that department. Christian McCaffrey became, correct me if I'm wrong, the first running back since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005 to throw, catch, and rush in a touchdown. This was the, like, I imagine the game that every Niners fan was like, this is why we traded for Christian McCaffrey. So first up, the candy, then your thoughts.
Ooh, I think the candy, I'm going to go with Starburst because I feel like better the longer it goes. Like when you get into the middle of the Starburst pack, you're like, oh, this is really freaking good. Your jaws muscles are flexed now because you've had like some of the Starburst. And that was exactly what happened in this game. The second half of this game, the 49ers absolutely dominated. They outgained the Rams 230-61 in the second half of this game. And the 49ers offense was just motoring down the field in the second half. It was finally functioning, RJ, the way we said we thought it should function. Second half of this game, the 49ers punted on their first possession. Then they go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Final possession, they punted, but they weren't even really trying to score at that point. That's the way it's supposed to look. And my only question to you is, and this is something I'm going to talk about with 49er fans later today, does this mean that their offense is back on track, or does it mean they know how to beat the Rams? I'm not quite sure.
So I subscribe to the theory that some teams own some teams, particularly within divisions, right? And it's very clear. I can't even count how many times I've seen that the Niners have now beaten the Rams in 8 straight regular season games, but the one game they lost was the most important one, the NFC Championship. I mean, like, again, I've seen it 1,000 times. And I think some of that's like the culture of the teams. I guess culture is like our word today. But in this case, I think it's the head coaches. Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. And you know what this is like. Rachel, obviously the Eagles were playing at noon. And so we all kind of know what the business of this is. Cowboys played at noon. So like first half of this game, I'm still in the like aftermath of, you know, our postgame show and things like that at Belong with the Boys. So when I parachuted in was, I guess, after the Cooper Kupp touchdown. The 16-yard one that made things 14-7. And I saw the Fox highlight of Sean McVay like buddying up Matthew Stafford. And I was like, oh, Stats spoke this into existence, right? Like, here they come, whatever. And then, like, of course, like the Rams just fall apart, like, because that's who they are. I think that's who they are, but more specifically, that's who they are against the Niners. And now the Niners, this was clearly the like new toy game. They're like, you wanted Christian McCaffrey, you wanted to trade Cam Akers away. Look at what Christian McCaffrey can do. So I'm a little bit slower to come around on the idea that the Niners offense is back. But this is who they are. Like, this is what it takes. Like a magical performance by your superstars, which isn't sustainable, but they've gotten it at the right times more often than not in the last few years. I don't know that I would be like, oh, we're one of the best teams in the conference now. But I do think that the Niners are a playoff team. I think the Niners should get all the love, but man, the Rams are losers. Like, the Rams stink. Like, there's nothing to like about
them. You can see that this winning streak that the Niners have against the Rams gets in their head. It messes with their head. In the second half of that game, the Rams started to come unglued. Jalen Ramsey's talking trash to Robbie Gould. How are you going to talk trash to a kicker, man? They got a dumb...
He's done that before,
yes,
has he not?
Yes, he has. It's weird. They got a dumb late hit penalty out of bounds that gave the Niners an extra 15 yards. They actually converted a third down, a big third down, and then immediately after that, they get an unsportsmanlike taunting penalty that pushes them back 15 yards. It gets in their head. When things start to go wrong for the Rams against the 49ers, you could almost see them thinking like, oh no, here we go again. And for the Rams, look, they got to dig themselves out now. And I know they won a Super Bowl, so this year is kind of playing with house money. But things
are... Did they really? Like, does anybody really remember that? Like, it was so, like, whatever.
And but, yeah. Sean McVay, in one of the all-time loser moves, late in this fourth quarter, the Rams basically decide the game is over. They just start running the ball on third downs. But inexplicably, McVay has Cooper Kupp in the game. He completes a pass to Cooper Kupp, and Kupp gets hurt. He injures his ankle late in this game. He was walking with a noticeable limp after the game. I have no idea why Kupp was in the game. I have no idea why he was throwing passes to him. Afterwards, Sean McVay said he was kicking himself for having Kupp in the game. It's the only pass Cooper Kupp caught in the second half of the game, and he got hurt.
Sean McVay is a coward, and the whole reason is, like, I'm kicking myself now. People will be like, well, he's accountable. Like, I hate that. Like, that is so lame. The Rams have three prove to us you're not fraud games coming up in a row after this loss. So they're now 3-5. They're at Tampa this coming week. So again, which one of you is a bigger fraud here? Then they host the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. And I know all the Call of Duty. I'm ready to retire Kyler Murray Call of Duty jokes. Like, it's too much at this point. Like, I don't need it anymore. But that's just me. And then at New Orleans. So I mean, if you lose there, I mean, you're Raider frauds, right? Like, that's the new thing. Like, when you're that kind of fraud, you're a Raider fraud. Okay. Are you ready for your next candy challenge?
I am.
All right, let's move on. This was kind of sneakily the game of the day and maybe the game of the week. So far, down in Georgia, a lot of great songs start that way. The Atlanta Falcons get the overtime win over the Carolina Panthers, 37-34, thanks to DJ Moore in a couple of ways. Your candy analysis of this particular game.
This is a Kit Kat that is kept in the refrigerator, and that is key. You got to keep it in the refrigerator. You take that Kit Kat out of the refrigerator, all of a sudden you take a bite, you're like, this is way better than I thought it was going
to
be.
I agree, but I do want it to, like, I don't want it to be like room temp, but I want to take it out of the fridge for like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to bite into it like straight out of the fridge.
Okay.
Like, it needs to warm up just a little bit. Our fridge is really powerful. So that's maybe like a my household situation. DJ Moore caught what should have been the game winning touchdown at the very end of this game. Incredible throw from PJ Walker. Patrick Mahomes tweeted out that it was the throw of the season so far. It was incredible. But DJ Moore takes his helmet off.
And I said it at the time, as I was watching it, my son was sitting next to me. I said, Thomas, that's a penalty. You can't do that. It was a big deal.
So he takes his helmet off. Everybody's heard this story. Eddie Pinheiro misses the what would be game-winning extra point, goes to overtime. Eddie Pinheiro is offered a moment of vindication. Shout out to Dashboard Confessional. And can't get it done. Atlanta Falcons get the ball, go down, kick their own game-winning field goal. Had the Panthers won, the entire division would be 3-5, but now the Atlanta Falcons stand alone at the top with a 500 record of 4-4.
Hey, you know what? The Falcons are flawed, but they are cleaning up so well, RJ. Big plays all around in this game. Kyle Pitts had a 33-yard catch. Jahmyr Bird, 47-yarder. Tyler I don't even know how to say that guy's name. I apologize.
You were right. That was it. Yeah, that was it. Algier.
Algier, 25-yard catch. Drake London, 17-yard catch. There were two 30-yard runs by the Falcons. There were big plays all over this game.
One by Mariota, by the
way. Yeah. It was wild to see. The Falcons are a pain in the butt, man. They don't give up. They play hard. They run the hell out of the football. And they are, I think they're going to be competing for a playoff spot at the bottom of the NFC.
If you had asked me at the beginning of the season to say which NFC South loser has a chance to contend with the Bucks for the division, like if it comes down to that, the Falcons would have been my third choice. The Saints would have been my top one. And then I would have said, well, the Panthers, if Baker gets hot, like obviously, like we all kind of thought maybe whatever.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of believe in them. I do think the Falcons are like slowly, low key recovering well. From a lot of missteps. I don't think that they catch enough heat for being as involved in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes as they were. That costed them Matt Ryan, which in a football sense seemingly saved them because it paved the way for Marcus Mariota. Like, imagine this Falcons team with Matt Ryan. Like, it wouldn't be fun. You know what I mean? It would be really, really, really bad.
Yeah, they'd be worse.
Right. They have survived the Calvin Ridley suspension, right? Like that. This is it. Like the Falcons are going to be that team next year. People are like, well, they're getting Calvin Ridley back. Like who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be, whatever. I know a lot of Falcons fans are like crossing their fingers for Lamar Jackson, but man, it's possible. I mean, they're 4-4. They get to play these same fraud Panthers in 2 weeks. I hate this, by the way, twice in 3 weeks.
I hate that.
Before then they go to play the Chargers, who are also frauds. Then they get these Panthers. That's on Thursday Night Football. Then the Bears, then the Commanders, then the Steelers, then the Saints. Okay, yeah, then the Ravens. Maybe you get a future glimpse at Lamar. The fraud Cardinals, the fraud Nulls, and then the Bucks. Like, I mean, they could win 8-9 games and be a wild card. Why not? Like, it's totally – they could win the division at this point, like with the NFC South the way it is.
And he'll never win the award, but shout out Arthur Smith, man. Doing as good a coaching job as anybody right now. He's never going to win it because that's just not how that award works, but he's making it work. You know, he doesn't have his guys in there yet. He's still kind of turning over that roster. And if you can win in the interim, like, you get a lot of credit for that in my eyes.
It's I know that you'll roll those same eyes at this statement, but when Jason Garrett was hired by the Cowboys initially, hang on, hear me out. Everybody made a big deal about like the 3 straight 8-8 years from 2011 through 2013. They were rebuilding. They were building the offensive line that has helped sustain them, like the culture of it since then. And I mean, so like if you can go 500 3 years in a row while you're building up your roster and your vision, like that's hard to do, to your point. And we're sitting here throwing flowers at Arthur Smith because he's 500. So shout out to him. Shout out to the NFC South for sucking in a very special way. But all right. So we have now touched on the Vikings and Fraudinals. We've touched on the Falcons and Panthers, and we already touched on your Niners and the Rams. I guess we can just blitz through this game. The Broncos beat the Jaguars 21-17 in London. Russell Wilson returned to like his level of swag afterwards. His post-game interview with Laura Rutledge on ESPN Plus was very confident. Russell Wilson, your candy assessment?
Hershey bar. Nobody really.
Dude, that's so mean.
Nobody really wants one, but wow, it's okay. Like you get, it's still candy, right?
And we straight up or with almonds?
No, straight up. We still got like Russ, that. Like kind of doing some Russell thing. So okay, it's all right. It's a Hershey bar.
Dude, how did anybody believe in these Jaguars? Like this team stinks.
Trevor Lawrence stinks. Can we say it? Or do we have to wait another year? Like he stinks. He ain't it, RJ.
Remember after week one when Christian Kirk had like 400 yards, we were like, maybe the contract was worth it. Like, I don't think he stinks, but I mean, whatever. They had the money to spend. Like, I thought that was silly to make a big deal of it. Trevor finished 18 of 31 for 133 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions, one of which was just awful, right up against the goal line. I mean, like one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. Russell also had his own interception. The Broncos, it just felt so painful. Like, it just felt like they dragged themselves to this win, the Broncos did. There were different varying reports whether or not Nathaniel Hackett would be fired had they lost this game. Yeah. They almost did. So, like, I don't know how you can feel like, well, he's good. Life is good if you're a Broncos fan. Like, and I think what's stupid is, like, the broadcast talked about this too. Like, oh man, if they lose this game, like Bradley Chubb, like he's gonna get, who knows? I mean, Jerry Jeudy, whatever, who's getting traded? Cortland Sutton. It's like one win against the Jaguars in London should not dissuade you from any of those activities. Like you can't be that reactionary as far as who you are as a team. Like this Broncos team is still very flawed.
Priors are a powerful thing, RJ. For the same reason people don't want to crush Trevor Lawrence. We thought, hey, the Broncos with Russ, you know, they could be a thing in the AFC. So they win this game and all of a sudden we're like, I wasn't wrong. See, I'm still right. They still have all those things that I talked about early in the year. One more Trevor Lawrence point, if I may. He is last in the NFL in EPA per dropback inside of the red zone. He is terrible. He's completing, he's 6 of 16 inside the 10 yard line with two picks. Like, and again, this was supposed to be the golden boy. He ain't good.
This is a weird take, and I realize it's Halloween, but like it's never felt like real to me. Like I kind of feel like he's like playing dress up and playing pretend as like an NFL quarterback. You know what I mean? Like some of it's like the Jaguars of it all. I do wonder what the twist of fate would be if the Jets don't beat the Rams in that 2019 game. I'm sorry. Because that really just kind of 2020 game that knocked them out of the number one overall pick,
right?
That gave it to the Jaguars eventually. Like, I mean, because if you're the Jets right now, I realize that Trevor Lawrence has not played well, but if you're the Jets, I still think you're like, I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather
because
take
Zach Wilson has been a tire fire.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think I think the whatever Trevor Lawrence loyalist is like, Urban broke him beyond repair, right? Like that's like the party line. I'm not saying that's my line, but like that's what some people believe. And so if you're a Jets fan, you're thinking like, if we had gotten him here with this core, I mean, because right now, if you're a Jets fan, we'll get there. Like it's like everything is great except for the quarterback. Trevor would be thriving here. That is like a funny butterfly effect moment. But dude, this Broncos team is so bad. There's nothing about it that I like. I did like the uniforms. I can't believe they never worn the white tops or the navy bottoms before. It's a good look.
Yeah, I actually liked it too.
Wow. Okay. Do you have anything else to say about this game?
I do not.
It was gross. Good. Cause it made me sad. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's just get it out of the way. The Dallas Cowboys offense woke up. I almost called you Dak Prescott. I don't know why. Dak Prescott is like, he was back against the Lions, but he was like back against the Chicago Bears. Dak Prescott stats finished. Maybe it's because stats kind of sounds like Dak. Finished 21-27, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran one in, actually got the party started on the ground. Tony Pollard with Zeke Elliott as a, I guess you could call it a healthy scratch, technically, obviously dealing with an injury. But and I don't think Zeke would have been inactive if the Cowboys weren't on bye this coming week now. But Tony Pollard, 14 carries, 131 yards, the 3 touchdowns on the ground. As mentioned, one of them, a 54-yard dagger that kind of made the game that was surprisingly close, far out of reach for Chicago and their limited offense. Malik Davis got his first game or played his first game in the NFL, almost scored a touchdown, was down at the 1, and Dak threw one to Jake Ferguson right after. This was the... Okay, this Cowboys offense is back. The defense is amazing. By the way, Micah Parsons had his first career touchdown in this game, returned a fumble, and Justin Fields does not know the rules of the NFL that you have to touch players to mark them down. I don't know if you remember last year, the Cowboys beat the Falcons, and it was like a big just domination. And last week, everybody said about the Lions, this is that game. The offense is going to be back. They're going to just kind of run through the Falcons. The Lions. That did not happen. This was that. This was the party before the bye. Life is good if you're a Cowboys fan.
Life is very good. And you had a good tweet, RJ, which I give you credit for, about Dak Prescott and him coming back. Do you remember the exact wording of the tweet? Because I thought it was really well done.
I tweeted Dak haters throughout his dominating first half. Like that was the gist of it. And their like proverbial line was like, man, y'all need to chill out. Like it's just one half, like relax, LOL. And because he threw an interception right at the very end of the first half. So then I wrote like Dak haters at, you know, after the one interception at the very end of the otherwise perfect first half, like, oh, well, he sucks. He's a loser. He's trash. Told you. That's exactly what it was like.
Like, just look at the difference in the offense. Cooper Rush is there and they're, you know, they're doing what they can. Dak is back. He's back in the flow of things and they drop basically a 50 burger on the Bears. Like that is the difference.
Well, 7 points for Micah's, but you're right.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, this is the offense that you expected to see. And how, like, I feel like for years we've all been saying Tony Pollard is the best running back on the Cowboys. Oh, they should give Tony Pollard the ball more. Zeke is finally out of the picture and Tony Pollard blows everybody out of the water. Like, yes, sometimes we are right that when there's like a collective opinion, sometimes it's wrong, but sometimes it's dead on. And we saw yesterday, Tony Pollard should be the starter, should be the bell cow. I don't care that Jerry Jones likes Zeke. I don't care that Zeke was at one point better than Tony Pollard. He isn't now, and that is clear.
You said priors are a powerful thing. Zeke Elliott was the 4th overall pick, highest Cowboys pick since Russell Maryland in the very early 90s, who they took number one overall, and is kind of the face of this era. He, you know, the Cowboys moved over to the star with Zeke's rookie year, and he's been their identity.
I'm going to use my lifeline for you, RJ. What is the candy for this game?
Oh, I can't believe I already forgot to ask. See? I've lost points. I can make them back here. To me, Well, I'm going to go with my favorite. I mean, it's my favorite team, obviously, so you set me up well. I'm going to go Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It was perfect. Like, it was a perfect game if you're a Cowboys fan. Like, it was well done. Plus, the wrapper is orange, and so were the Chicago Bears. They wore their orange uniforms and orange helmets. I do not like it. I hate it so much. They look like the Browns. What I hate the most about it, I actually think you'll agree with this, is the logo is different. The C is navy. That's not the Bears logo. The logo is an orange C. Like, I hate when the Colts do the white horseshoe. Like, their logo is the blue horseshoe. So you can't just change your logo and get away with it. This was Pollard's second career start or second game without Zeke Elliott. The other one was actually against your Niners in 2020, the game that got flexed out of Sunday Night Football. And he had a big touchdown run in that game as well. It kind of inflated his day. Man, Pollard, though, this season against the Bengals had a 46-yard reception that, I mean, Cooper threw like 2 yards to him, took it all the way down to the 1 yard line. He had a big 40-plus-yard big run against the Giants on Monday Night Football. Everybody saw that. He had a huge 57-yard touchdown run against the Rams a couple of weeks ago. He had a 54-yard touchdown run in this game. Like, I'm not somebody who thinks Pollard's the bell cow, like, whatever. Like, I've kind of given up on that argument. And it's not really giving up, but they're both useful. Like, they can both help your offense. And Jerry, whatever, go ahead and talk. I mentioned this on our postgame show. At the end of the day, Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Tony Pollard, Zeke, they understand what's up here. And they're the ones implementing things and figuring things out. And so I trust them. Like, I trust McCarthy and Kellen Moore to utilize them both properly. So that's ultimately the good thing, whatever Jerry has to say. You're right. The offense looked great. Dak, this looked like prime Dak. Like, I know he had the interception, but I mean, just incredible power and zip on the ball. It was so much fun to see. We didn't talk about the Bears, but I don't want to be the guy who complains about officials. I was slacking with you and Brandon about this. There was an awful roughing the passer penalty called against Chauncey Golston in this game. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, if you're airborne and your hands are up in the air, like I don't know what you're supposed to do. And that negated a Trayvon Diggs interception. There was another play, I don't know if you saw this, where Khalil Herbert fumbled. And then the argument was that he recovered his own fumble before not fumbling again. Yet there was no clear evidence that he recovered his own fumble. Yet the officials gave the Bears the ball or had them retain the ball. The Bears got two touchdowns off of those two moments. I mean, this Bears team is kind of cute and kind of spunky, but these 29 points are really misleading. Justin Fields, I don't know. We were talking about this too. He's so bad, dude. Like, sure, he can run. That makes him, I guess, more valuable than Trevor Lawrence, maybe. But like, he is so bad. But for whatever reason, people are trying to will him into existence. Maybe it's a prior is a powerful thing.
You know, we're talking about candy. Justin Fields is like the good and plenty of NFL quarterbacks.
Oh,
like,
nobody eats those.
They're terrible. Everybody knows they're terrible, but for some reason, people keep giving them out. People keep trying to sell us that Justin Fields is good. On the ESPN write-up for the game, and I think I slacked this to you and BLG, there's a whole section, and it says, oh, Justin Fields is solid again. And I look at and I'm like, wait a minute. The dude threw for like 150 yards. What are we talking about? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, those... Again, I'm not trying to complain about officials, but 13 of their 29 points were direct results of very questionable calls. Other, you know what I mean? So, like, I think people parachute in. They're like, oh, yeah, put up 29 points. Oh, he was amazing. He jumped over Micah Parsons when Micah had the ball. Like, dude, you have to touch him. It's amazing.
I'm done with Justin Fields. Like, again, how long do we have to wait before we say these guys stink? Come on now.
On the subject of that, something that you and I are simpatico on, I think we're the only people who are willing to say the Lions stink. Like everybody else, oh, Dan Campbell's so cool. He's so funny. He says so many weird and crazy zany things. What do you mean you called it? I've been saying this before you, Stat, so welcome to the party that I am hosting.
No, I called it when he was first hired. I said, this guy's going to get more slack because he gives good podium.
So the Miami Dolphins defeated the Lions 31-27. We'll get to the Miami side of this and we'll get to your candy. But I have a question. Do you know, I was reading this in Mike Sando's Pick Six column right before we started recording. Do you know what Dan Campbell's record is? He's coached 24 games for the Detroit Lions.
No, he's got to be like, does he have like 5 total wins?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
He is 4-19-1. So you were very close, but you went over. So Price is Right rules. Damn. You don't have to go to the showcase.
Fair.
Do you know what Matt Patricia's record was in his final 24 games? So the most recent 24 games of the previous coach to the first 24 games of the current coach.
No, I do not.
he was 5-19. So technically a better record. Doesn't have the tie, or didn't have the tie that Dan Campbell does. That's where we're at here. But because Dan Campbell's super cool, and because he says in his press conference, "I know we're close, and it's just down to one." It's not down to one play, dude. You like, this is not the same thing. Like, you're not the same team as this Dolphins team, or last week's Cowboys team, or the Patriots team a few weeks back. I mean, like, you stink. Lions, you are so bad. Like, how is this possible that they're always this bad?
Same.
Oh, by the way, you're candy.
Ooh. Well, I was going to give the Dolphins. I was going to make the Dolphins Rolos.
What's you're giving the game the candy. So go ahead.
Rolos, because the Dolphins are really good, and Rolos are friggin' great, man.
Really underrated. People don't think of Rolos. That's a great, like, grab at the counter of the gas station candy.
Yeah, you're never disappointed. You know, the Lions, and I'm reminded of this by Michael David Smith, managing editor of Pro Football Talk, who tweeted this out. They fired Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell was 36-28. And since that time, the Lions have gone 18-52-2.
And traded away their franchise quarterback because they created a culture of dysfunction.
And got Calvin Johnson to retire early because they stink.
Those things happened because they suck. You know what I mean? It's not like because the coach was different. It's because they suck because the coach sucked.
I do think we should talk about the Dolphins a little bit more in this game. Like, where do you rank the Dolphins offense? I mean, Tyreek Hill is better now than he was with the Chiefs. 12 catches, 188 yards for Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle, 8 catches for 106. Like, with Tua here, where do you put this offense in terms of best units in the league?
So I want to say on Tyreek, you know how like Aaron Rodgers clearly makes a terrible GM. LeBron makes a terrible GM. Tyreek, you want to choose your team? You're pretty good at this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you actually have some really solid thoughts and ideas behind this. I mean, I'd put Buffalo and Kansas City at the very top offensively. I have a hard time putting Miami above Philly, or even like what Dallas did yesterday, if that's who Dallas is going to be moving forward. But they're right there. They're a top five offense, I guess. Like, I'm fine saying that. But I also the peak of it is a top five. But they're just so not consistently there all the time. I mean, you know, and I know that Miami's had their struggles and some other things, we'll say. But I just don't trust that to be around all the time. But I am excited about what the future of them is going to be. I do think that they're flirting with purgatory here, because what do you do with Tua in the offseason? Like, you've seen a lot to be satisfied with, but is that enough to tie yourself to him for another season?
You don't have to decide right now. Just do nothing. Just let it play out. You'll get much, much more information. And honestly, you don't have to do anything this offseason either. Like, if you want to keep him around, franchise him. That's what it's for. Like, don't freak out about that. Don't act too early. Just let it play out. If you're Miami, all the power is in your hands. There's no reason to overreact and throw a contract at him. None.
Do you know if the playoffs started today, which is stupid to say halfway through the season, but if they did, do you know what Miami's fate would be?
No.
They are the 6th seed, which means they would travel to play the 3 seed in the wild card round. The 3 seed in the AFC,
Kansas City,
is the Kansas City Chiefs. Ooh. We would have Tyreek in Kansas City.
I like that.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. I do think that I'm not picking anybody against the Chiefs, but I do think an electric offense that can maybe not go shot for shot with you, but I'd be interested to watch that game. I mean, it'd be fun.
Oh yeah.
Certainly. So, but you're right. I mean, they're clearly the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. Who's second? Who's even a close second to maybe AJ Brown and Devontae Smith? But they're not on the level of Tyreek and Jalen Waddle right now.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I'm just trying to take a quick scan. I wouldn't put Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen there. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are pretty damn good.
Okay.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Let's head to the Pacific Northwest, home of the loser Seattle Mariners that were at this game. I don't know what they were being celebrated for. Like, congratulations on winning, they didn't win a wild card round, or I guess they won the wild card, but then they got swept.
Did you see the Mariners got a penalty called on them yesterday?
I did not see this.
Yeah, the ref was announcing the penalty on the Seahawks, and he said it was on the Mariners. I was like, damn, that's pretty good.
Well, you go to 18 innings without scoring a single run.
Yeah.
People are pretty pissed off. The Seattle Seahawks got the dub. Geno got his revenge. You mentioned Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Tyler dropped maybe the easiest touchdown of his life, but still finished with 5 receptions for 63 yards and a score. DK coming back from the injury, 6 catches, 55 yards and a score. Geno, super efficient, 23-34 for 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kenneth Walker added a touchdown on the ground. I don't think this was like an embarrassing loss for the Giants. Like, this wasn't the like, gotcha, you suck game. It's just, hey, you ran into a really good team. The Giants are on their bye, and I think they should hold their head high, certainly with a 6-2 record. Your thoughts on the game after you give us a candy?
I'm going to go Milky Way because it should have been a better game than it was. And like, you look at the ingredients of a Milky Way, you're like, chocolate, okay, nougat, all right, caramel. Like, hey, this sounds like it could be pretty good. Then you take a bite and you're like, that's all right, but it's kind of less than.
You're saying you don't like Milky Ways?
They're okay. Like, they should.
Milky
be
Ways
better.
Are Three Musketeers.
Milky Way. Three Musketeers.
I will say
stinks.
I don't want the like full Milky Way. You know, I'm like the. It's not a foot long, but you know what I'm talking
right.
about. I don't want the full.
Yeah, I get that.
So I want the fun mini one. Like that's too much.
But
for
what
me.
Does
too
that
much
say
of, like,
about the candy bar when you're like, no, I don't want more of it. I only want a small amount.
That's a fair point.
But
I don't want the little ones that are like the size of your thumb. You know what I'm talking about, like the party size,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah,
like I want the one that fits in my palm.
You want
the
rectangle. You don't want the square.
Because
they do like the yes. bite size. That's terrible.
Right. But I don't want the ruler, which is the long
right.
one. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that the Giants, like, it should have been a closer game. Richie James had 2 terrible fumbles on punt returns that basically cooked the Giants in this game. It was sort of a back and forth game. Those swung the game for the Seahawks. You know, I didn't think that Geno Smith was fine. I didn't think he was amazing. He didn't do anything terrible, but the Giants would have had the opportunity to win this game except for special teams gaffes. And it's funny because those are the kind of mistakes that they haven't made all year. Those are the old Giants, right? Those are the Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge type of Giants. They haven't made those mistakes this year. They did yesterday and they lost. But I mean, you talk to any New York Giant fan at the beginning of the year. If I told you, hey, you're going to be 6-2 after 8 games, they would have taken it. So it was a winnable game. They made the mistakes. The Seahawks took advantage. But you're right. Giants should hold their heads up high. And it's kind of a big win for Seattle now because they're 5-3 instead of being 4-4. And they need to stay ahead of the Niners in the West because the Niners have a victory over them head to head.
5-3 with a chance to really stake their claim in the NFC West at Arizona next week before the Germany game against the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. We found out over the weekend, like reports are that NFL Network's going to like call that game, I believe. We're going to get like a 4-man booth. I think they've done that before.
A 4-man booth.
I think it's Rich Eisen, Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, and Michael Irvin. I could be wrong. Like, don't quote me on that.
You don't need that many. You don't.
Like they're taking the like NFL game day set. And you know, like
right.
crew and making, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so, yeah, we don't, that's too many people, too much traffic, whatever. That's my preferred morning show, but still, like, you know, whatever. I agree, kind of low key big win for the Seahawks and low key big win for Geno. Like, he's just kind of like adding them together. Like, of the like shaky quarterback surprise stories or whatever this season, I think Geno's the most stable. Like, yeah, we mentioned it's a good time to be a Cowboys fan. Like, what a time to be a Seahawks fan. Like, you are just taking dubs over Russ Wilson right now. Tyler Lockett had the quote after the game. Did you see this?
Yeah, you said, well, you slacked it to me. So, yes, I did see it.
So respect on the credit. I do think that some people, including myself,
tell people what the quote is.
Well, so I was about to say, I think that some people, including myself, took it a little bit out of context. Do you have the quote in front of you? Because I
yeah, he said, it's amazing what we can accomplish when no one cares who gets the credit.
So like, I could see that as like the inflection is super important, right? Like if you're like talking about like, and if he's looking around the locker room, you know, it's like, man, it's amazing what we can accomplish when no one cares who gets the credit. Like, you know, you're saying like team, or it's like, man, I tell you, it's amazing what we can accomplish when no one cares who gets the credit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like those are very different statements, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's, you gotta hear
the past certainly does lend to us believing that this is a shot at Russell Wilson. I do think it's so fascinating how like, nobody involved in like Russell's career in Seattle is like afraid to like call him out and drag him, or you know what I mean? Like there are people, maybe not afraid is the wrong word, but like who are not shy about it. Like I think people like that have played with Aaron Rodgers, or you hear like Greg Jennings or Donald Driver, like they're not out here being like, this dude sucks. You know, they're just like, hey, whatever we want, it's all good.
This feels really, and maybe this is my trauma coming back. There's so much about the way the Seahawks are playing right now that feels to me the way they were playing when they started their run with Russ in like 2012, 2013. The offense is just like making plays. You don't know this quarterback. You're like, can I really believe that this quarterback, you know, back then it was this third round guy they drafted. Now, of course, it's Geno and everybody knows his story by now. They're just making plays. They've got a running back that nobody can tackle. Used to be Marshawn Lynch. Now it's Kenneth Walker. The only difference is Russ could escape and make magic happen. Geno has like one or two plays every game where either he doesn't see the blitz or he doesn't care and he gets absolutely drilled in the pocket. That did not happen with Russell Wilson. But yeah, I keep saying it, like, how many more weeks does Geno have to do this until we just acknowledge like he's playing really well? Like, this isn't just, oh, Geno Smith, you can dismiss it. Like, no, man, he's good.
I've said a few times that I bet the Colts miss Jacoby Brissett. Not that Jacoby's good, but like, they've had their issues certainly since the Jets, man. Like, you got to imagine they're like, what? Like, you know, like they've spent two top three picks on quarterbacks since Geno and have failed seemingly both times. So they're stuck. Speaking of the Jets, though, they fell after. Remember, like we kind of talked about this. Like, how are they underdogs against the Patriots? Well, we know why. 22-17, the final score. Bill Belichick passes George Halas for second most wins. Blah blah blah. Whatever. This was kind of a classic Patriots Jets, you know, kind of game. I don't know. You might know it. I read last night that this is, I think, the 13th win in a row for the Patriots. Yep. I might be getting that wrong, which is like the longest run of like one team over the other in like 50 years or something. Again, it was, I was in a bit of a haze. I was all nervous about the World Series tonight when I read all this. I'm also a little bit hopped up on coffee right now. I haven't even had any candy today. This was a bummer loss for the Jets. But like, unlike the Giants, it felt like these were the losses, right, that like the like city or whatever of New York was kind of waiting for to prove that both their teams were frauds. I don't think the Giants are fraudulent. I think they just lost to a good team. This is a really kind of like exposing loss for the Jets. Like, you can't beat Big Brother. You actually don't have the baby Jets that are this like ragtag fun group or whatever. This was a tough scene for Zach Wilson.
You go into halftime, it's 10-6 Jets, and you're like, look, it's not pretty, it's ugly, but whatever, you got the lead. Here's the Jets offense in the second half. Missed field goal, punt, interception, turnover on downs, punt, touchdown at the end of the game when it was 22-10. Like, they just imploded. Zach Wilson had an interception in this game. I've never seen anything like this. He's rolling out. He realizes he doesn't have anything, right? There's just no play there. He doesn't want to take a sack. He throws the ball away. But he throws it away in the field of play, like just throws it. I guess he thought like no one was going to be able to get to it. And McCourty just runs under it and makes the pick. And Zach Wilson afterwards has his hands on his helmet like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, dude, throw it out of bounds. What are you? I've never seen a quarterback throw the ball, try to throw the ball to no one on the field of play before. It was hideously bad. And Zach Wilson has made those type of plays in his Jets career over and over and over again. There is not a single sign, RJ, that Zach Wilson can be good. There is nothing he does where you could be like, well, look at this. We have something here. No, you don't. He's awful.
I mean, he's like kind of cool, right? Like, that's it. Like, and like, priors are powerful. What a great line, by the way. I think the fact that he's not even like Joe Burrow cool. He's just kind of like, you know, young, hip, cool. But like every Jets fan is, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but like I would guess a lot of Jets fans have been like, man, it just reminds me of Broadway Joe, like the swagger that he walked. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like people are constantly trying to like recreate the past in that sense. Like I could tell you, like from a Cowboys perspective, it's like, oh, it's like the Great Wall and Emmett all over again. No, it's a different thing. Just relax. Don't be that person. But
actually,
yeah,
it kind of is like Joe Namath because he had more interceptions than touchdowns in his career. So,
On the subject of stupid ways to analyze this game, like my Joe Namath thing, do you know what Robert Saleh referred to Zach Wilson as in his postgame press conference?
Oh no, what did he do now?
I mean, it wasn't as bad. Like it wasn't the beefy line that everybody talks about, but he called him Z. That is weird to me. Like that.
Whatever.
That's like a. That's whatever. Trying so hard to make. Like he was like, "Oh, Z was great." It's like, or what? I don't know what he said, but he called him Z. That is so awkward to me. It's kind of like, I don't know if I told you this or I can't remember where I said it, but I hate how people take the first letter of somebody's name, a first name, and then the first syllable of their last name
right.
and make it a nickname. Like if I called you like R. Gurr, like that would be like the worst nickname of all time. You know what I'm saying? I had a friend who would refer to Brandon Marshall as B. Marsh. Have you ever heard that before? Like that's not the worst example, but like calling Zach Wilson Z is not a letter that sounds cool to say. You know, you want to call somebody like J. You know what I mean? Like that's a cool sounding letter. You know what I mean? B is kind of okay. D is a good one, but Z is a really awkward letter to say by itself like that.
His first name is four letters.
It's one syllable.
What are you saving? You know, like
yeah.
All right, let's stop talking about the Jets.
It's like, I hate when people, like, if somebody tweets at you, like, oh, stats, like, are the Niners going to, like, play whoever? If you were to, like, respond and be like, go check my other tweet, takes so much more effort than, like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, right. like, what's the difference? Your candy for this game.
Oh, geez.
Remember,
Charleston
you do have Rachelle to tap in, by the way.
Charleston Chew.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
You don't know what Charleston Chew is?
No, I just said that I don't. So I'm looking
this
up.
It's chewy flavored nougat with a delicious chocolate coating, except it's not delicious.
It's made by Tootsie Roll.
It's not good. It's technically candy. Like this was technically football, but nothing.
Rachelle said
about
she
it.
Doesn't know what it is either. Thank you, Rachelle.
You haven't lived.
You have to pick a candy that we've heard of. Okay, you can't cheat like that.
People know Charleston Chew.
Nobody knows what that is. Give us another candy for
no,
Patriots.
No, you get one candy. It's Charleston Chew.
Remember that Rachelle's going to factor all this into the MF double MVP.
I'm
you
willing
just
to
lost
risk
points.
It. I'm so far ahead of you, I can lose a few points.
Wow. Did you know, stats, that the Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers once upon a time were a single team called the Steagles. A.J. Brown tweeted that he got drug tested on Monday morning on Halloween. makes sense because he caught six passes for 156 yards and three touchdowns. I bet you are embarrassed considering you outlined a case based off of what seemed to be objective fact that the Philadelphia Eagles lost that trade a few months ago
you
here
know
on the
that was
NFL
what
show.
I said.
Jalen Hurts did throw one more touchdown to Zach Pascal. Another Zach, Z Pascal. Miles Sanders had 9 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown. The Steelers were just up against it. It was never going to work.
I want to use my other lifeline and bring in Rachelle for this one since she covers the Eagles for Bleeding Green Nation. Rachelle, help me out here. What is the candy for this game?
I feel like for this game, you can never go wrong with Skittles. I say this because Skittles are a candy that like people just, you know, take a handful, pop up in your mouth. All of the flavors are pretty good. And when you look at this Eagles team all together, like all the way around, there's no holes. There's no bad flavors on this Philadelphia Eagles team. So I'm going to go with the Skittles.
That's an excellent choice.
Brilliant.
Did you dock stats points for the Charleston Chew thing?
No, I didn't.
See,
you should
I've
have
heard of it. Not points for it. It's just like okay.
It's not a wow. good candy, but now that is a brilliant point by you, Rachelle. There's no weakness on these no. Eagles team, and they're adding people like they just crush people, and I love that they bring in AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts is just like that's it, just yep. dropping balls right down the chimney. Double coverage doesn't matter. The Eagles just roll over you right now. They're good. They know it. It everything must be. Peaches and cream over at BGN right now.
Pretty much.
Stats, you sent us a link to Charleston Chew. This isn't some flex. Just so
no,
you know.
I just told you, I just wanted you to be able to see it. That's all.
I know. I'm not denying it, that it exists, but like it doesn't exist in like our brains.
But look how
so
bad it looks. Even the picture, it looks bad.
It kind of looks like a Toblerone, but that's not a candy. I guess it is a candy.
No, that doesn't look like a Toblerone. Toblerone has nuts.
Is it Toblerone? I'm just talking the packaging. Is it Toblerone a candy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, you still have that one in the chamber then for later on today. But yeah, just quickly, the Steelers, like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, this is just, like, ugh.
They're not,
you know, like, 2-6. That 500, like, we're watching it come down. You know what I mean?
Yep.
like the people have, like, if it was like a statue, people have, like, thrown all the ropes around and they're, like, tugging and tugging and we're seeing the foundation crack. It's about to come tumbling down. Gardner Minshew, by the way, got into this game. Like, that's when you get stunned on, when Gardner Minshew has come into the game.
It is working out perfectly for the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Like, there are teams that have drawn it up to win a certain way, and it's all gone according to plan for them. And, you know, we were talking about Tua and what do the Dolphins do. Like, this whole season was about, well, is Jalen Hurts the guy? And I feel like we know now, right? Like, the Eagles are not going to be drafting a quarterback after this year.
It's amazing that they have a top pick. I mean, like, it really is just incredible. The Seahawks as well. Like, if you are a green related bird, good time. By the way, while we're on the subject here, Brandon wouldn't let you be objective about the World Series. So Eagles fans are all pumped up because you just, like, gave them their flowers. The World Series is tied at one apiece. As of Monday, we've got three games in a row starting today, then a travel day, which, oh man, oh, it's also Houston, Philadelphia. What a crazy week. Blah, blah, blah. Like, again, we've heard these stories. Get creative, people. how does the World Series end now that you've seen two games?
The Astros are winning. I still think the Astros are the best team in the league.
Okay, but, like, give us, you wouldn't give us this on Friday. Like, Astros in what? Five?
I said seven, Astros in five.
Okay, so you haven't changed. So you're thinking the Astros went out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The players haven't changed. Why would I change?
Stats, I don't say this often, but I love you. I love every single thing about you. Every fiber of your being.
About time.
So, I mentioned that the Eagles have a first-round draft pick that isn't theirs this season. It belongs to the New Orleans Saints. Stats, you are out of lifelines. Every candy must be chosen by you from here on out. The New Orleans Saints blanked the Las Vegas Raiders, the Raider frauds. 24-0, the final score in the Superdome, the toughest place to play in the NFL.
Yeah,
right. Alvin Kamara, who was connected to a lot of trade rumors on Sunday morning. The NFL's trade deadline, by the way, on Tuesday here. Here and everywhere else. But if anything happens, we'll keep you covered here at SB Nation. Alvin Kamara had three total touchdowns, had over 150 total yards from scrimmage. Andy Dalton was remarkably efficient, 22 of 30 for 229 yards. Taysom Hill had a completion himself. That's the nicest thing I can say about him in that sense. Did have a reception, did have 61 yards on the ground. So he is kind of super versatile in that sense. I don't know if that factors into your candy thing. The Josh Jacobs train kind of slowed down. The Devontae Adams thing, he had one touch entering the fourth quarter. How is that possible? Like, what? Like, look at what the Dolphins are doing with Tyreek Hill, like we talked about. Look at what the Eagles are doing with AJ Brown, had three touchdowns. Like, why are the Raiders the only team who can't get the dude they traded for involved?
Candy corn, because there wasn't a single good thing about this game.
Rachel, please let us know if you like candy corn before I offer my opinion, since Stats seems to hate it.
It stinks. It's corn that tastes like candy.
It's corn is a really popular sound effect on TikTok, just so you know.
It's corn. Yeah. A big lump with, what is it? A big lump with knots or knobs or something?
I don't know all the words, but I know those. So you think this game is candy corn. Rachel, I'm anxious to hear if you like candy corn or not. Are you saying that both these teams are candy corn or like just the Raiders?
Both these teams. There's just nothing good about it. Nothing good about it. I still don't know what the hell's going on with Alvin Kamara's legal situation. It's just nothing good. No way, no how. And Josh McDaniels apologizing after the game is just big loser energy. Like, maybe he's just not a head coach. There are some of those guys that are really good at offense, just not a head coach. And guess what? Maybe he's one of those guys.
I think if you're apologizing and saying it in like a cheesy way, like when Josh was like, I apologize to Raider Nation, that just makes it more embarrassing. You know what I mean? Instead of saying like, I'm really sorry to our fans, to be like, you know, like if, I don't know, Pete Carroll were to be like, I'm sorry to the 12s. Like, that would make it 500 times more embarrassing to me. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like, imagine if like Kyle Shanahan were like, I apologize to the faithful. Like, what? Like, that would sound so stupid, like in the moment. So this sounded really bad. I would say, to your point, Dan Quinn, look at Josh McDaniel. Like, and I'm not saying they're the same, but like, it is hard. I mean, and Dan Quinn knows that. He was a successful NFL head coach. You know what I'm saying? Hey, tough cookies. Do you believe in the Saints?
No, never. I will never believe in the Saints. I hate them, and I always will, and I will never apologize for it.
Rachel didn't let us know if she likes candy corn. I do. So
you would.
I'm not like in love with it, but I think it's fine. Oh, Rachel does like candy corn. Thank you, Rachel. Stats, you are outvoted.
One batch. They've only ever made one batch of candy corn. They just collect it up every year, wash it, and put it out again.
Why would they wash? What? Anyway, the Tennessee Titans outlasted the Houston Texans 17-10. Texans, pretty clearly the worst team in the NFL. I don't think it's a surprise by any means. The Titans were 0-2, five in a row they have won. They are 5-2 now. Derrick Henry, King Henry, had 219 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. I believe he has now had something, you might know the stats, that 200 yards rushing against the Texans specifically in like three straight games in four of his last six, which is absurd when you really think about it. Talk about owning a team, owning a division rival. This was Malik Willis's first career start in lieu of Ryan Tannehill, 6 of 10 passing. So really not that much of a day for him through the air. Did have five carries himself. The Texans just stink.
I'm going to go Junior Mints for this game.
Oh, also a candy that nobody really has. If like you have to pick good ones.
Like running the football. If you like the taste of mint, you're a Junior Mint guy. Like this is for you. And that was the game for you because Derrick Henry just literally ran over the Houston Texans. And like you pointed out, like literally if you're Houston all week, that's the only thing you talk about, right? Like the one thing we can't do is let Derrick Henry run over us. And sure enough, that is literally exactly what happened. To me, that is the biggest telltale sign of a bad team. When you can't...
Brandon Cook.
Go ahead. Oh, when you can't stop the one thing you had to stop, you're a bad team.
Brandon Cooks had 4 receptions for 73 yards. Speaking of trade rumors, his name has been thrown out a lot. Look at his like... Well, if you've looked at his tweets... I mean, the Cowboys might trade for a receiver, so like, you know, I'm doing my work. He has liked like 50 tweets about like connecting him to different things or whatever. So like, he clearly wants out of there. I would have gone Snowcaps instead of Junior Mints. Like, they're for a specific audience. I always think of that episode of Boy Meets World when Sean found the purse and there was the bag of Snowcaps that connected him to Angela. So the Snowcaps connect you to your Angela, which are the Titans in this case. So
yeah. I'll always sign up for a Boy Meets World reference. So good job by you.
When it's Bombies World, the Washington Commanders continued to expose the fraud, loser, big, massive energy Colts. 17-16, the final score. But Sam Ehlinger, we believe in him. Well, we always knew he would be great. That's why we totally traded for Matt Ryan. We got lucky that he was available, blah, blah, blah. Taylor Heinicke, the train rolls on. The Commanders, 4-4. In last place in the division. They'd be tied for first place in the NFC South with that record. I'm kind of starting to believe we're going to talk about this on the NFC East mixtape. The Commanders, I mean, we could have 4 playoff teams in the NFC East if things break the right way. Well, let's talk about the Commanders. They deserve the love. I don't want to talk too much about the Colts. But Terry McLaurin, over 100 yards, hometown. Good for him.
He's good, man. If I had to pick a candy for this game, I'm going to go Runtz.
You have to pick. What do you mean if? You do have
I didn't know if you would let me off the hook. I'm going to go Runtz with this one because it's almost like this was a... It's like the NFL forgot they had to put a football game in this spot. And then they were like, Commanders Colts. Like, Runtz are the candy you give out when somebody comes to the door and you forgot it was Halloween. You're like, do I have anything in this house that I can give them? Oh, here's a box of Runtz I got 3 years ago. Sure, have that, kid. Get the hell off my doorstep.
I would have gone Nerds.
No, Runtz. Nerds are actually good. Runtz are terrible.
Nerds are okay. They're overrated, but they're all right. Seriously, the Colts are so bad. Like, they are just so bad. I will take all of my victory laps around them. And Frank Reich, again, I know we're close. I know we're doing... No, you suck. This team sucks. And take some accountability. Own up to it. I have yet to see that from Frank Reich or Chris Ballard.
That's a totally fair criticism, and they are really, really starting to earn it. I mean, Jonathan Taylor ran for almost 5 yards of carry in this game, and you still only put up 16 points. Taylor Heinicke, man, he makes Washington at least interesting, which is more than say for a lot of quarterbacks they've had.
He's going to be the Bears quarterback at some point. Oh, like geez. They're going to trot him out and start him and act like it's an amazing thing. Wow. Okay. So I believe the only game we have not gotten to is actually the Sunday Night Football affair between the Buffalo Bills and Green Bay Packers. And Stats, my man, I got to tell you, it is just such a shame to see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers struggle.
Womp.
So,
womp.
so, so bad. You know what this reminds me of? Honestly, they're 3-5 now. It reminds me of the Cowboys who fell to 3-5 4 years ago after a loss in Washington and were just broken on offense. Needed help so badly, sent their first round pick to the then Oakland Raiders for Amari Cooper, and he changed everything. I don't know that I think the Packers are like an Amari Cooper away, so to speak, like whether that's Chase Claypool or Brandon Cooks or whatever, but they need help. I mean, and whoa, big surprise, even franchise quarterbacks need help. Yeah. Turns out great players help other good players, great players be even greater or gooder.
I'm going to take a risk here to give out the candy. I know you guys are going to hate
this. Your last one. So you have all the remaining candies in the world and you get one to pick.
My favorite candy in the world is Tootsie Rolls. And I'm giving it to this
Holy
game
crap.
Because oh Josh Allen is freaking good. Just like a Tootsie Roll. He's unbelievable, RJ. He's running around. Guys are trying to tackle him. They are
so
bouncing off of him. He's trucking people. He's throwing lasers down the field. He is just, to me, he's the absolute standard of what you want a modern day NFL quarterback to be. And I know Mahomes is really good. Mahomes doesn't run the ball the way Josh Allen does. He doesn't have that dimension to his game because Josh Allen is a freaking mutant. He's just incredible. And it was just such like a Aaron Rodgers' day is done. Like, his time is over now. It's Josh Allen's world, and we are living in it.
So, I mean, again, just, like, awful candy choice. Like just terrible. I mean, like,
I knew you wouldn't like that.
That's your favorite candy. Says an enormous amount about you.
Tootsie Rolls are delicious. I don't even know what they are, but they're fantastic.
Nobody is ever in the mood for a Tootsie Roll. Like, it's the, like, oh, what'd you get in your, like, candy haul? I got 8 Snickers. You didn't even pick Snickers at all for this whole exercise. And I got, like, 6 Tootsie Rolls. I guess I'll, like, throw them away. Like, nobody wants the Tootsie Rolls. That is awful, Stats. I'm really sad.
Tootsie Rolls are delicious. Snickers.
Tootsie Pops.
You can't even give out Snickers because half the people have peanut allergies.
Wow. Seriously. Just an all-time loser moment on your part. But something I love about Josh Allen, and it's difficult to love if you're a Jets fan or Patriots fan or Dolphins fan, I guess, but like, so like, you and I are really detached, right? Because like, the Cowboys and Niners, like, it's super easy for me because like, I'm actually wearing the 92 Cowboys coaches polo, so like, good times here for, you know, involving the Bills, right? So like, it's really easy for me to love the Bills, right? And I'm sure not a difficult thing, but like, it's difficult for like us to appreciate certain teams. Like, if the Saints were ever success, if the Saints had Josh Allen, you would hate him. You know what I mean? Just like, naturally, because of the like riff against that team. So, but something that is really cool in like sports fandom is when players are just so much fun to root for. Josh Allen is so much fun to root for, no matter like where you're coming from. The other quarterback in this game, Aaron Rodgers, is really difficult to root for, right? Like, you know, Packers fans root for him because of the uniform he wears, but like, there's not a lot of, certainly anymore, kind of just like Aaron Rodgers stands. I mean, I think people appreciate and respect his talent, but nobody's like, Josh Allen is just so much fun. He embraces the Bills like culture. He's this big sports fan. He loves all his teams. He rides for all his teams. Like, he just kind of gets it. Like, he's what you want. He's what you dream a franchise quarterback to be. Especially if you're like a starving team, the way that the Bills are. He's amazing, but dude, they're all amazing. Like, Devin Singletary looks like one of the best running backs in the NFL when the ball's in his hands. I know he's not, but like, he looks like that. Stephon Diggs is maybe the most underrated receiver in the NFL. Like, I don't know how that's possible, but like, we talk so much about so many other players. Friend of the SB Nation NFL show, by the way, Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis, I mean, is amazing. Just kind of like, it's always there. It's always money. That defense is stifling. Sean McDermott gets no respect. Like, Josh Allen gets all the headlines, deservedly so, but they are a monster. They are a force. They are winning the Super Bowl. And I'm so happy that they exposed the Packers.
I just love it. They always put the ball in Josh Allen's hand. Like, they get it. They recognize how good he is. And they're like, yep. Okay, Josh, take us where we want to go. And most of the time he does. I do want to call out Aaron Rodgers because last week, he's sitting on the Pat McAfee show talking about this guy's making mental mistakes. That guy's making mental mistakes. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Well,
this guy's picking Tootsie Rolls when Snickers are available.
He gets in this game and he gets totally outplayed by Josh Allen. What does Aaron Rodgers say after the game? Well, I think the most important thing is to take a beat. After a frustration like this, the last thing you want to do is respond in emotion. So take a beat. Let it sit. There's not a whole lot to say after this game. It's going to spark the team, I don't think. Funny, you didn't take a beat after last week, though, Aaron. You threw everybody else under the bus. Now, when you got completely outplayed, you're sitting here, oh, we got to take a beat. Nobody could say anything. No, man, miss me with that. I am so done with Aaron Rodgers. Just go retire and chew your mushrooms or whatever the hell else you were doing in the offseason. and go on Joe Rogan's stupid podcast and get into your conspiracy theories and go away. You already had one foot out the door anyway, Aaron Rodgers. Don't let it hit you on the way out.
My last thing on this, and then Rachel can tie us up here. I think we do this in sports where, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, very famously, like, had the relax line, right? The R-E-L-A-X, whatever. And the only reason that that's famous is because they, like, went on a run, right? But, like, there are so many, like, sound bites that are lost in the abyss because teams suck or lose. And so, like, if the Packers had come out and won, the, like, most played clip all day, Monday, Halloween day, would have been him at the press conference after the Washington loss. Like, I think this is what we really need. This is our chance. What was it like, you know, an opportunity to get exposed, whatever it was he said about, he was like Bills on Sunday Night Football. Like, that line would have lived in lore forever if they had won. But, like, because they got destroyed, nobody cares. It's just funny, like, the way narratives work that way.
I mean, you lost to the Giants. You lost to the Jets. You lost to the Commanders. Now you lost to the Bills. Four straight. I mean,
New York owns you.
Get out of here. Just go away. It is over, Green Bay Packers.
Tough scene. Tough scene. Matt LaFleur, by the way. You know, what you doing? What you doing here?
Yeah, I'm not going to get on LaFleur too much. I mean, the guy's won 13 games pretty much every year of his career before this year.
I do want to shout out Mike Sando's pick six column one last time. My very last comment here. The leading point of his pick six was about the Packers offense and the Chiefs offense and how they both obviously traded away their star receivers. Chiefs offense ranks number one in EPA per play. The Packers are 22nd as of Monday morning, at least. And he talked to the line he had that I thought was really great was, imagine how hard it is for a bill to become a law with the Packers. And he talked about all the people who have to sign off on a trade or whatever the case may be, like, and those people obviously include Aaron Rodgers and you know, LaFleur and all sorts of people because of the unique structure of that team. And I thought, so many people are sitting here, and he had a line in there that said, the coach's coach. And what is the number one criticism of Mike McCarthy? Oh, well, you know, he just does what he does. Well, he's kind of used to it. Like, that's the Green Bay way, right? Like, you have, you know, people, you have a lot of cooks in that kitchen, so to speak. It was just kind of an interesting, you know, way to look at that thing. But Cowboys at Packers, that's their next Cowboys next game. Packers obviously not on bye this week, but this one's from Mike. Anyway, Rachel, welcome aboard. Couple of things. Number one, your takeaways from Sunday's action. Number two, your thoughts on Tootsie Rolls. And number three, the MFWP.
My thoughts on week 8 action. One of my biggest takeaways was Derrick Henry. I think that that deserves to be at the top of the list for sure. Like, he had more rushing touchdowns.
Remember who shouted him out?
More rushing touchdowns than the Texans had total yards on offense. That's actually insane.
That's
My takeaways, I'm actually disappointed in you guys. You guys left a lot of amazing candies, like, on the table. Nobody said
I didn't touch these at all. This was
nobody
all stats.
Said Swedish fish, like Sour Patch Kids, so many good candies that, like, were left on the table. But anyway,
Are you a sour candy person, Rachel? It seems that way.
I actually don't like Sour Patch Kids, but I know people, like, go crazy over sour candy. I'm not a fan, but a lot of people do.
Sour Patch Kids are good.
Okay. Do you like Tootsie Rolls?
I like Tootsie Rolls, but I like candies that a lot of people don't like. So
it's a candy and a dance. Come on, you can't beat that.
I would have went with the Tootsie Pops, the Tootsie Roll lollipops over Tootsie.
Remember who shouted that out? That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. But definitely, I have to agree with RJ. You mentioned, like, you would have went with the snow caps over the junior mints. I agree with that one when it comes to the Commanders. Also, Stats, I think that this was the best one, in my opinion, how you compare Justin Fields to Good and Plenty. Because those candies, when I think of that candy, I think of, like, they're sitting at someone's grandparents' house. Like, nobody likes those candies. But shout out to RJ for coming up with this idea, because this was probably one of my favorite shows by far.
Wow. Tough moment for Pete.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident, Rachel.
So today's episode, I'm going to give it to RJ.
Let's go.
Well, shout out to Stats, because I know that you had to come up with these, like, on the top of the dome. And
yeah, but you didn't do as great of a job as I did, Stats. That's what Rachel.
Well, it's easy to sit back and criticize the choices when you don't have to make any of your own.
Yeah.
Rachel, since you didn't pick any candy. Well, you picked the one candy, obviously, for the Eagles, but your top three Halloween candies. Halloween candy specifically. And shout out to you because you like candy corn.
I put this as a Halloween candy because this is when I first got introduced to this candy. They used to have the white chocolate Kit Kat bars, but they were dyed orange.
You've talked
That's
about this.
Stats,
she likes to eat the chocolate around the wafer.
And I don't like them cold. They need to be kind of like melting a little bit. I want them to be melting just a tad.
I have so many questions. First of all, where are you getting these mysterious orange Kit Kats? I've never seen an orange Kit Kat in my life.
Orange?
In school, they used to be like dyed orange. Like they were white chocolate, but they were orange, mm-hmm. like coloring.
And why do you eat? Yeah. So hold on. How do you even eat a Kit Kat without eating the wafer?
Love the wafer. That's my favorite part. And they think I'm weird for this, but I like to eat the chocolate first and then save the wafer part for last.
But you know they sell sugar wafers, right? You could just buy those.
I don't know.
I've never asked this. Do you need like a plate ratio when you eat a Kit Kat? Because like I don't need a plate. Like, well, like where do you store the wafer? Like you're just holding
it. It's in the middle, so you're just biting like around it.
So you eat it like an ear of corn?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, well that's number one. Give us two more candies, please.
Two more candies. I'm gonna go with the cherry pull and peel Twizzlers.
You guys have those? Not a Twizzler guy.
I like those.
Yeah, not my thing.
I don't like the regular Twizzler, but the pull and peel ones are really good. And then Halloween candy, I'll put candy corn up there.
Oh, good for you.
I do like candy corn.
Well, it is Halloween. Nobody dressed up, but I did come prepared.
Oh, no. Oh, we got a Spider-Man mask. Look at RJ. Nice.
Oh, I love it. Energy. Yes. Extra points.
That's right.
Tom, how you feeling? Favorite Spider-Man actor. Go.
Tobey Maguire. Ugh. I mean, for my lifetime. Yeah. Well, like, it's like how he made me feel. I mean, it's an emotional ride for me. But if we're talking about like who's the best, it's Tom Holland. You know what I mean? Because he like captures the energy the best. But they're different answers.
Way to say more than one. There's three to choose from, and you.
I thought about
doing
the whole show with this, but it's difficult. You know what I mean? Like I didn't. It would have been difficult. Like it's, and I wanted to drink my coffee too. Like it would have been hard. So
I love it though. I should have brought a costume.
Halloween's the best holiday.
What's your favorite thing? What's the like go-to costume for you, Rachel? You got to dress up. Because now I have this mask and I can do this whenever I want. But like, what's your go-to costume?
A go-to costume?
Yeah, like all of a sudden you get invited to a Halloween party and you've got like an hour to prepare.
Mm-hmm. A cat? Because I feel like everybody has like little ears. Like that's something.
It's a good one.
Everybody has little ears?
Just sitting around, like it's an easy costume.
Yeah, and you throw on like a black t-shirt or something like that. Yeah, very well done. You know, I'm gonna guess Stats is. Stats is a referee. Guarantee he has like a referee shirt in his house.
No, my go-to is Clark Kent because I have multiple Superman t-shirts, and then you just throw on a dress shirt that you like leave unbuttoned with glasses, which I wear glasses anyway.
It's really kind of narcissistic. Like you're saying you look a little bit like Superman.
No, I'm saying I look like Clark Kent, the far nerdier, geeky. You know, clumsy alter ego.
You both did a bad job or poor job of letting the podcast audience know. Like my voice sounds muffled. I put on a Spider-Man.
I said you put a mask on.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't have my headphones on. So I didn't, you know, I had to take them off to put the mask on.
That's a loss of the MF double MVP right there.
Wrong. Rachel, I would like you to pick a candy that we have not said that Stats has to create a sound for. As we leave.
No, I'm not doing this.
You have to. Nope. Those are the rules around
here. I'm out.
Pete does it every week.
This is a good one. I got you. Pop Rocks.
That actually is pretty good. I don't know. How do you do the Pop Rocks? How's that? That's all I got.